Well, good afternoon, lovely ladies and gents. This is Faith.
This is Lisa.
And you're listening to a regular, non-US-based Twisted Tales.
Oh, the relief.
The relief. No one told you where to go tonight, Lisa.
No.
I didn't have to misalphabetize the states.
A word.
No one can see my illiteracy now. Let's go.
Am I illiterate?
Dude, I struggled with that.
I don't know. We can talk about our test runs. Multiples.
Let's move on to Japan.
Let's move on to Japan.
Let's go on. Who cares? The mic was muted for the first hour of our tests. No one.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's just get past it. Oh, man. All right, Faith. Well, not going to lie. I'm proud of this one.
You've taunted me for over 24 hours now.
Yeah.
So this better knock my blasted socks off.
Well, if it doesn't, I'm sorry. I'll
The next episode will be based on me.
I don't care.
Murdering you.
Oh, how clever.
Stoning.
You're so clever.
I just want to throw stones at you.
I'd throw anything at you, literally.
Oh, I'm so tired. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, now that we're done listening to her crap, I'm going to move on to my story.
To your crap.
My crap, too. Fine. I am going to talk to everybody tonight about a man named Sutomu Miyazaki. Now, I'm going to go ahead and just throw it out there. It's going to be uncomfortable. Okay?
Nice.
Not only is it going to be uncomfortable, but there's a very strong possibility that I am going to mix up words.
Like mispronounce.
His name. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been practicing.
You know, when you said his name like so effortlessly there a minute ago, I thought, that can't be pronounced right. There's no way she did that. So
I've
like,
been practicing.
ABC. You did that easier than I picked the next state in the alphabetized state. So.
I mean, hold on. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I could get got on the fifth word.
Okay.
So just bear with me. All right.
Happens.
So Sutomu Miyazaki was born August 21st, 1962 in Itsukachi, Tokyo. And I think that's right.
Do you know? Did you Google?
If anybody's from Japan and they're listening to this story, I would appreciate you letting me know, because I don't know. I did my best. He was born with a rare birth defect that caused his hand joints to be fused together, preventing him from being able to move his wrist upward.
Oh, that stinks.
So he was the oldest son of a kind of well-to-do family.
Mm-hmm.
They operated the town newspaper. Both his grandfather and his great-grandfather served on the town council. According to some of the sources that I read, Sutomu's parents weren't exactly around much when he was a child, and was mostly raised by his grandfather, who was an intellectually disabled man. Now,
you know, I want to throw out there, I don't think we have done, like, talked about a horrific crime story, which is, you know, the nature of our podcast, where they had, like, a solid family background. It's never like they went to church on Sundays, had dinners as families.
A lot of them pretended to go to church.
But it's always like they had a rough background. Jeez.
Like it was like John Wayne Gacy, who was just like this perfect guy, and nobody would ever think that a guy like that could do what he did.
There's always outliers, but for the most part, they always have a jacked up history.
Right.
Anyway, just side note.
Yeah, that's a pretty true statement, Faith. So, like I said, he was mostly raised by his grandfather, who is intellectually disabled man. Now, I assume that he wasn't the one that served on the council, but with everybody's experiences in government, you never know.
Okay.
I thought that was a great side note.
Moving along.
It's not like
so many
can't
correlations.
Disagree.
Yeah, we can.
At one point or another, you've all experienced it. All right. So, Sutomu's childhood was a typical childhood for a kid with a deformity, right? Everyone was really caring. They were super helpful. They were there for him when he needed it. They were super supportive, encouraged him daily.
Are you being sarcastic?
And wait, that's the wrong story. I'm sorry. He was teased relentlessly by all of his classmates.
Kids
he
are dicks.
Was bullied and pretty much hated himself, okay?
Kids are dicks.
Apparently, the abuse wasn't just by his classmates, but his own sisters.
Yeah, because kids are jerks.
Yeah, kids are horrible. And kids will only learn a lesson if you... Never mind. I'm going to move on from that statement as well. I'm just playing, guys. Come on. All right, Faith, buckle your seatbelts.
Chick, chick.
All right, so bullied by his own sisters, and by sisters, I mean, as it turned out, his older sister was, in fact, his mother.
Oh, the plot thickens.
What, you ask? His sister was his mom?
But that's like olden days, like you don't want to bring dishonor on the family, so you pretend.
Yeah.
Oh, is it inbreeding?
So his oldest sister is his mother. He found that out later on in his life.
Who's his dad?
His dad had a sexual relationship with his oldest daughter, and to save face, the mother raised him as her own.
And kept the father in the household?
Yes.
Heck no.
Again, you're looking at a different culture.
I'm saying personally.
Absolutely.
I mean, he wouldn't be like, you know, I wouldn't divorce him because the body would never be found. I listen to enough true crime that I'm sure I could not get away with it since I'm saying this on, you know, national news broadcasting into the internet.
Well, any chance you have ever had of getting away is gone now.
That's
it's been heard by at least 5 people.
My mom will know I did it. Mom, don't tell anybody. Keep your lips sealed. Snitches get stitches.
So, yeah. His sister's his mom.
I thought that was one of those, like, you send your daughter, like, your unwed pregnant daughter away, and she comes back, and you just have a kid.
But, like, but if no, it this is a worse. Shame, if it is a shame thing, it's, well, not only do I not want anyone to know that my oldest daughter is pregnant, but I also don't want them to know she's pregnant by my husband.
See, that makes
and
it worse,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, you've really hit the nail on the head of the easiest way to dishonor someone in their family legacy.
So why
would be that right there?
Why would his own mother make fun of him? How old was she? Do we know how old she was?
I don't.
Okay.
No, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, I could have gotten wrapped up in everybody's names and this, that, and the other, and we don't know how old the younger was. I know it was the oldest.
But she was probably still in high school, minimum.
Possibly.
Jeez.
Possibly.
Maximum, I mean, max.
And, you know, maybe I could probably do a little bit more research into that, but there was a lot to cover. And so getting down into the real nitty-gritty of his past. And you know how I feel about it. I mean, I know people have a lot of uncomfortable pasts, and it still doesn't justify things for me. So I always end up, you know, the meat of my story is always what happened to the victims, right?
Yeah, but on the flip side, like, nothing justifies what he did, but he was probably very angry at everybody in the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
With just cause.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Your grandfather raped your mother, who's your sister, but also kind of your aunt. Like, that's a horrible family tree diagram to draw out.
I agree.
All right, continue. Sorry.
No, you're fine.
I got distracted.
So pretty much everybody in this kid's life gave him hell. The only one that showed him any kind of compassion was the grandfather that we talked about earlier, who was intellectually disabled.
Who was his great-grandfather?
Grandfather.
But if his quote-unquote grandfather is really his dad...
No. You missed that part. His father had a sexual relationship with his oldest daughter.
Okay.
The daughter is actually his mother.
So...
We're not talking greats. We're talking about his biological daddy.
Yes. Should have been his grandfather.
Oh, man, this got complicated.
Yeah, there you go. Now you see why I'm confused. No. But his bio dad should have been his grandfather.
No, his bio dad would have been just his dad had his mom had it. They would have been
Had the daughter had it, had him, like she did.
Oh, God, yeah, you're right.
There you go. His biological father should have been his grandfather.
We're going to go with just daddy.
Okay.
All right. Not this particular man.
I get way too into the weeds. I know.
I'm so off point. And then it took me a second, and I was like, "Oh, dang it! You sound like an idiot." Yep. Yeah. That's exactly right.
It's a lot.
My dad's my dad.
Around.
He's my granddad. My sister's my mom. That's why incest gets me. I don't get it. I don't understand. There's too many words.
All right. Continue. Yeah. Sorry.
It's all right. As Satomu got a bit older, he found his own mental escape in his everyday loneliness and in abuse. And he began spending a lot of his time reading anime, watching horror movies. He even created his own persona and called himself Ratman. So basically, he was like creating.
Oh.
Yeah.
He didn't give himself a cool name. He was Ratman.
But I feel so bad for him. If you saw some of the pictures, like, it was, okay, the way he drew out the hands of Ratman looked almost the way his hands looked. And so that was kind of the weird part. And there's, we'll get to that after, but it's things that we can just post on Instagram and things like that. By the time he was in high school, he, you know, this little boy who used to have excellent grades in school, pretty much lost interest in everything except for his comic books and movies and his own made up version of himself. And by the time he finally graduated, his grades were horrible. And he was completely secluded from the outside world other than his grandfather.
Because the outside world screwed him.
Yeah. And then, like, another thing is, too, like, you don't know. All right, we'll get real for a second. So when it comes to, like, incest and stuff, I know there's a lot of, like, physical disabilities that people can have with incest. And so that's what my next question, how mental does it go, right?
It depends on how close the incest is and how the genes hit.
Well, I'm going to go with if it's his dad and his sister, that's pretty damn close.
It is, but I don't know. It's weird because you can see an incestual offspring be completely, quote unquote, I use this term very generalized, so don't at me, normal.
Yeah.
And then you can, and it can be, you know, like brother, sister or whatever, like completely normal. But then again, you can have an incestuous relationship, same everything, have a child with physical or mental deformity. I don't think there's a rhyme or reason. I haven't done a ton of research into it, obviously, but
I just always felt like Game of Thrones depicted incest is completely unrealistic.
But it's
like
not
all of her, the queen and her brother's kids were completely normal.
But if you look back into like olden days, like way, way back machine, incest was very common in royal lines.
That's true.
And
but
a lot
what
of
royal
them,
wealthy person is going to depict themselves or any of their family members as
true. That's crazy.
Deformed or any.
But I mean, a lot of them had like blood diseases where they were hemophiliacs and just different stuff like that. They did have diseases where they were mentally unstable, the degree of which we don't really know because they didn't have all the medical stuff. It's just going off history. But I mean, and no disrespect because we have
like,
a lot of people.
Still,
here's my thing. We have a lot of Great Britain listeners. So I say this with a very big grain of salt. Please don't be upset. This is just the best analogy I can bring. There was incest like back in the day in the royal bloodlines of England. Queen Elizabeth was 100% fine.
Right.
Even though she probably had incest in her background and came from like long ago before she passed.
Yeah, but at some point, that bloodline's going to dwindle out when you're, you know, kind of doing it right, I guess, for lack of a better word.
How are you doing incest right?
If you're looking at
like first cousins?
No. Well, I mean, honestly, it's not really quite the same bloodline, but
yeah.
I mean, you know, her husband wasn't. And maybe her mom before that and her dad before that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was probably like way back.
After a while.
But
I'm talking generation upon generation of these people. Who
you got that family up in West Virginia that's severely mentally and
but that's what I'm saying.
Physically.
So when it comes to like when people talk about the past and how all these great kings and leaders and the pictures of these affluent men and women, I don't know. I guess I can't buy it. If they're that inbred as you know, it's stated to be. I mean, geez, you can't even have a normal dog in certain parts without, you know what I mean? So, anyways, back to the story. We got
I would
off
like
on an incest trail.
I would like to make it known that...
you were Googling something.
I am Googling it now, but if anything comes up on my phone, it was for this podcast.
Oh, Lord, Faith.
Oh, because Lord, I'm doing, Faith. Like, what are the effects of incest on offspring? And I'm like... you know, so I'm going to get targeted ads.
Like everybody.
like Match.com. This mingle, single mingle fish or whatnot for the rest of the month. Who needs your brother? Meet these nice co-eds.
familyreunions.com.
Ancestry.com. Find your match. Sorry.
Oh my God. That was too much. Golly, if you had to speak that out, some of the research that I had to do, I'm going to have to like call it out by name here in a little bit. Actually, really soon. Oh, okay. No.
Sorry, we're back on track. Sorry.
Are we?
That took a weird turn.
That definitely took
right
a weird
here.
Turn.
Often.
She's like, we're going to get back on track, babe.
I got it.
I found an article first. Hold on.
It is. It is from Geisinger. Title of the article. Keeping it in the family, Game of Thrones style. It was published August 29th. Sorry. Okay. The biological issues.
Oh, y'all, sweet. I just want you to know she's like over here tearing up.
It's been a long
Somebody
day.
Slap happy.
Okay. Other side effects of incestuous relationships include increased risk of infertility, miscarriage, cleft palates, heart conditions, facial asymmetry, low birth weight, slow growth rate, neonatal mortality. Even if there's not always a mutation, inbreeding brings up a lot of problems involving recessive traits. Because the two of you have similar genes, any recessive abnormalities you may have can be passed on more easily and expressed more visibly in your offspring. This means that usually the parents do not show any signs of the condition because they only have one copy of that gene that doesn't work correctly. So because you're both passing that recessive gene, those traits are more going to be more dominant type of situation.
Okay. Oof. Well, now that we got super off topic, I'm going to try to get back into
the murder.
Yeah.
I hope I get something from Ancestry.com. I will die.
I can't handle you right now. All right. So yeah, by the time he finally graduated, grades were horrible. He was secluded. The only person he really stayed in contact with was his grandfather. So when his grandfather died in 1988, it seemed like Satomu had completely lost his grip on reality. So much so that he wanted to keep a part of his grandfather alive, so he ate some of his ashes. He entered a course for photography. And
we're just going to breeze past that, him eating his ashes, just like it didn't.
Yeah, I mean, you could have stopped me. You could have stopped me. Yes. He had his grandfather's ashes.
Like it was pepper?
I don't think he used it as a seasoning. I think he just got a spoon and just like ate maybe a scoop.
Oh, gag. That is now, there's a lady I work with. Her daughter died suddenly, just like brain aneurysm, very young, freak accident. She took no drugs or nothing. And she got a tattoo and had the ashes mixed with the ink.
And that's cool.
It was cool.
There's a lot of people, too, that'll get some of the ashes and wear them around their neck.
You can get them made into diamonds now and stuff. Too, yeah. Like, well, not a real diamond, but, you know, like a synthetic diamond.
Well, I'm still not going to justify the fact
there's
that
other ways
ate
to
it.
Do. That's what I'm saying. There's lots of ways. Eating the ashes is not a necessity.
Like, to me, at that point, I feel like that was the mental break.
That was science. Like, that was the outcry
now,
for issues.
Now I am absolutely 110% alone. Like,
I
have nobody anymore.
I need help. I'm eating ashes.
I'm eating ashes.
Oh,
yeah.
My worms.
Oh, my gosh. Come on. Face over here enjoying some gummy worms that she just dropped all over my porch.
It was the best flavored one, too. The pink and blue ones.
That is up for debate. Thought she was throwing it at me. I flinched.
Course.
All right, then. I'm going to try again to get back to my podcast because Faith is clearly a freaking child tonight. So, all right. So, ate granddad's ashes, right? And now I got to try to find my spot again. He entered a course for photography and was completely obsessed with an alternate reality, okay? He was older now, and comics and horror films didn't satisfy him anymore, so he dove headfirst into...
I don't know. Role play games?
No.
That was all I had.
No, you're talking about a guy who's probably never been laid in his life.
Well, yeah, that's why you
wants
do
to see some boobies.
Porn.
That was really not an appropriate way to guide you down.
I talked about
the road that I wanted. Okay.
Romantic matches on Ancestry.com. I think the
good point.
The, the professional way has gone out a long time.
It's gone out the window for tonight.
You're listening to this podcast. You're not easily offended.
There's a reason that it's graphic, okay? It's not because we cuss or anything. It's because we both have absolutely no filter in thinking things are amusing.
In the mind of an adolescent boy.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. In a nutshell. All right, Faye. I'm going to need you to make sure your seatbelt's really, really tight on this one, okay? Is it tight? Because you fixed your jacket.
I was pulling the seatbelt.
Pulling the seatbelt tighter. All right. He did nothing else but watch porn and go to work. As it turned out.
What? That's all you do all day?
I mean, I'm sure there was some probably comics and then Ratman that was in there at some point. Okay.
I'm sorry. Ratman just makes me sad.
Like, I know.
Maybe it's like Mr. Splinter from the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No.
Oh.
So, naturally, that didn't satisfy him for too long, right? Because people get bored of porn. Mm. And in Japan at that time, they were not allowed to show a woman's pubic area. So, basically, the part that he wanted to see the most was not available to him. So, naturally, he sought out a new path.
Ladies of the Noche.
And that path took him directly to...
Ladies of the Noche?
No.
Rape?
No.
I don't know what you're going with.
Child porn.
Oh.
Because in that day, in Japan, there is no limit of what could be shown on a child.
But they... All right. Pause.
I told you, you to fasten your seatbelt.
Pause. So you're telling me that Japan had no laws on what you could see on a child being abused, but
mostly just naked.
So he's not looking. So when you say
I don't exactly know.
Is he looking at like
naked pictures of children? They can show pubic. They can show.
I'm not okay
everything.
With that, but that's better. You said child porn. So I'm thinking about
that's what everything depicted of child pornography.
But
yes.
I'm thinking like children being raped.
And that could have been involved in that, yes. I am not sure.
He couldn't have gotten some black market porn where he could have seen a grown woman's...
I mean, this is 88,
that's
right?
Making,
I think that was the last date that I gave.
At least a consensual decision.
It's not America, sweetheart. That stuff was banned in Japan. Banned.
But they're... okay.
Yeah.
Let's just continue
so
on.
So just as a fun little side note, it wasn't until 2014... where it was deemed illegal and punishable in Japan to look at child porn or possess child porn.
But they couldn't see a woman's hoo-ha.
You're forgetting something. 2014.
That's what I'm saying. But up until then, it's illegal to see a grown woman's hoo-ha in porn. Mm-hmm. But let's not outlaw children till 2014.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Cool. Oh, by the way. As long as it's manga comics or anime videos, it's still totally fine to show a naked child.
Hmm.
Any thoughts? Anything you want to...
I've got a lot of thoughts, nothing. I'm going to...
I told you were going to like this story.
Japan, I'm...
disappointed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm very upset right now. Okay, let's just...
You want to move on?
Let's bump it along here.
I mean, you can chew on it for a minute if you'd like.
You know, I don't know if that's going to help me digest that any better.
I just think that it's weird.
I just don't understand, like, how is a law... Like, okay, kudos to you to say, even in porn, you can't see the downstairs of a woman. Whatever. They're consenting adults. You want to make porn illegal? Fine. You want to make
hookers
illegal? Fine. People get around it. But why make exploiting a child so fracking easy?
Here's my answer to that. Here's my rebuttal. Most normal people, we'll go with like 90% of most normal people.
Generous, but okay.
Can look at a naked child and not be turned on by it.
Why do you need to post pictures of
you
naked
don't.
Children?
Absolutely not. But it's the same thing like when somebody posts their kid in the bathtub or whatever and you think it's cute. There's some wackadoo out there whacking off to that picture.
No, I don't post that crap.
Hell no, I would never post that. But
I don't even post my kid in a bathing suit anymore.
Yeah. I think it has more to do with they don't believe in people being that kind of corrupt.
I was going to say.
You know what
like,
I'm saying?
I get like, in not... the, okay, I get like in the early 60s, 70s, 80s, whatever, when they made these laws. Maybe then you don't come out as strong against child porn because you don't like, in your mind, you want to believe there aren't those that many sick people. But 80s, 90s, it was prevalent. I mean, it wasn't as in your face.
You're talking the United States. This is Japan in the early 80s. We have, or late 80s. You have no idea what was going on at that point.
But people know.
I'm not going to justify it.
You're justifying it right now.
I'm not. I disagree with it 110%. But what I'm saying is we always get into a culture debate on when in our earlier, before we got stuck doing the 50 states of the freaking U.S.
Sorry.
Okay. Which, by the way, I hate every state, including my own. And that'll pass eventually. All right. But, you know, we always got into a conversation about what other cultures are like.
Yeah.
And I can't condemn another culture for one thing and accept it in a different culture.
I know, condemn any culture because that's okay from with child exploitation.
Yeah.
Hard stance.
I agree.
Hard stance.
I agree.
Like, that is the hill I would die on. There is nothing that justifies exploitation of a child in any shape, manner, or form.
And it's just weird that you would want to.
I'll go so far as to say I think kids' YouTube, most of those parents exploit their kids to make money.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's right either because no. That's not a child's job. It's your job to get your lazy A up and go to work, not stick a camera in front of your child 24/7 to sell toys.
Yeah. Well, I won't even just say that. Like, I don't want my kid to be so exposed on the internet.
No.
To make them kind of famous.
No.
I don't know. That's just my opinion. Y'all do whatever you want to do.
My
it's your
kid makes podcasts and YouTube videos. We just don't post them. You can hear in a room all the time, hey, guys, it's me. And I'm like, eh, there's nobody there, but
yeah,
okay.
My kid, the one. There are not multiple kids. There's the one kid, and I'm done. Anyways, back to the story.
I'm not okay with that still. I'm just letting you know.
No, I'm not okay with it either. I think it's just
highly
it's
upset.
Such an uncomfortable thing to talk about. And I don't know, maybe Japan just kind of wanted to deny that that was actually happening at that
nobody
point
wants
so
to
they
talk
didn't have laws in place.
Nobody wants to talk about it, but if you're going to make a law, make it a sweeping law, no female. Age shouldn't be a mat. Like,
well, it should be the same for men as well.
Yeah.
It should be definitely the same for me.
But I don't remember who said it. I think it was Chris Pine, who is an actor here in America. He played on like the Star Treks and stuff. And he did a movie where he showed full frontal.
Why?
Yeah. And so like they were doing an interview with him.
Most women don't even want to see their husband's ding dong.
Yeah.
They just
doing an interview with him. I believe it was on the Norton Graham show, which I love.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He is fantastic. He has a great British accent. He always has great questions. And when he starts laughing, man, it gets me. But he was talking about the thing. And Chris Pine was like, honestly, he was like, I don't see why it's that big of a deal. My co-star here, who's the woman in the movie, he was like, she did a full frontal. Nobody bats an eye. I do a full frontal. And it's all anyone can talk about. Is it just because men have been like,
yeah.
Kept, but nobody wants to see that.
It's not even just that, but women.
Women are more intellectually stimulated than men are more visually stimulated.
I was going to say, men have not been sexualized to the point of what women have been sexualized as.
True, but if men and women are both sitting down watching a show, a man wants to see, you know, the goods, whereas a woman wants to see the relationship and the character and the ass. So it's, you're playing to your audience. I said the aspects, but yeah, sure. I like a good ass.
I like a good ass.
That's America's ass right there.
That's America's ass
okay,
right there.
Okay, back on topic.
Back on the topic. No, I understand. I understand.
Right. Very just upset.
All right. So now that we've gone off on our little tirade.
Number 12.
At least. Man, I'm not like a paragraph in. Two paragraphs in.
I'll shut up. We're 30 minutes into the podcast here.
We are. We're 30 minutes into the podcast. You just keep going. So, eventually, as these things tend to, his obsession with child porn didn't cut it for him either. Now, this is going to be my own throw out right here, okay? People that watch a lot of porn lose interest in it pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Just can't get it in real life.
It's like watching the same movie every day.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's a professor and a girl. Oh, it's a doctor and a girl. It's the same.
It's the same thing. And eventually, yeah, it gets a little old.
I'm just saying. So Again. The porn didn't do it for him anymore. So his evil, twisted little mind took him to the streets of Tokyo.
Now we're going for Ladies of the Noche.
August 22nd, 1988, four-year-old Mari Kono was at a, Mary Kono was at a friend's house playing when Sutomo approached her and convinced the young girl to go with her. Him.
Oh.
He drove off until he reached a bridge in a wooded area where he parked. He confessed to this, to have sat with her for a half an hour before he murdered her and molested her corpse.
I specifically asked you last night if there were children involved, and you specifically said no.
I specifically didn't want to answer anything that you specifically asked me because
trigger warning, there are kids involved.
You said we didn't have to do trigger warnings anymore.
I know, but kids are different.
I know. And you know how much I love doing these stories.
I'm punching you later.
Don't do that. I like my face. Anyway.
So he sexually assaulted the corpse.
Yes. He dumped her in the hills that were close to his house and took her clothes with him. At some point when her body was decomposing, he returned and removed her hands and feet, which he kept in his closet.
Oh.
He took the remaining bones of little Mary and he burned them in his fireplace. He ground up what he could and sent the child's remains in a box to Mary's parents.
What the? Why?
With
why?
A postcard saying, Mary, bones, investigate, prove. And
okay.
It's this story right here where everything that happened to him in his past is not justifiable to me anymore.
On the one hand, kudos to him for not letting her parents look for her for the rest of their days. Because I feel like being in limbo, like if your child is taking and not knowing the result of that, is worse than knowing.
I want to use an F-bomb. Because F that.
You wouldn't want to know?
If I got my child's ashes.
No, no.
With some of her teeth.
No, no.
Box.
Nothing justifies. Nothing justifies what he did. Nothing makes it better. But at least her parents knew. Like, they're not out searching the streets. They can grieve and lay what's left
different
of her.
Different kind of grief.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, it's
a totally different
kind
of grief.
It's not like they just move on.
Like,
and
I'm going to be honest with you, too. Like, it's going to be hard regardless. But at least hope can keep somebody alive.
See,
okay?
I'm the difference.
But
I'd have
lose,
no hope. I would think she
I have
is
heard
being
so
raped
many
every
parents,
single day.
I've heard so many parents say it is the worst thing in the world for a parent to outlive their child.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying.
Yeah.
To have a definitive, like, we found the body.
I just know in my mind, I would make it so, like, what she's living through day to day, I would torture myself with that. So knowing that she's passed, in my mind, I feel like I would be medicated probably for the rest of my life. I'd probably very, very short life. But knowing that she's, instead of just torturing myself with what's happening, like, are they feeding her right now? Is she cold? Does she have clothes? Are they abusing her? Like, what's going on? Like, just having
just
to think
that. Could constantly.
Like,
is she alive?
You don't
if
have
she's
to.
Not alive. God, make it quick. Like, yeah. No, I know.
There's an end to that portion of the suffering, in like mental suffering. But gosh, that opens up a whole nother. What a trash bag.
Yeah.
Wow.
October 3rd, 1988. 7-year-old Masami Yoshizawa.
Oh, good. There's more.
Was walking on the side of the road when Sutomu pulled up in his car next to her and offered Masami a ride. She took him up on it. There's not a whole lot of detail in this story, but he admitted to killing her and committing sexual acts on her corpse.
Where did the corpse come into it at?
I don't know. Because, I mean, like, I know he killed them, but they didn't have to live through anything he did after that.
But do we
and
know that
so
for a fact,
know,
or are we just going on his word?
I guess kind of going on his word.
Because he's a trustworthy guy.
But what would you rather admit to, rape or necrophilia?
I think I would rather admit to necrophilia because then you think people are just going to think it's more of an insanity plea. Whereas if you say you raped the child, you've got people hating you based off that and the murder. Whereas if you murdered them and then
it could have been totally his self-righteous way of getting what he wanted without causing them damage. You know what I mean? Like, I know he killed them, but you don't know. I know.
I want 5 minutes with him. Yeah. 5 minutes. That's all I need.
December 12th, 1988, 4-year-old Erica Namba was walking home from her friend's house when this time Satomu wasted no time trying to convince the child to come with him. He just straight up grabbed her and forced her into her car. He drove to a parking lot where he made Erica take her clothes off while he took photos. When he was finished, When he was finished with his stupid photos, he took her life. Bound her hands and feet behind her back, wrapped her in a sheet, and put her in her trunk. In his trunk. He got rid of her clothes in a wooded area by the parking lot, drove to the parking lot next door, and got rid of her body. Erica's body was discovered 3 days later on December 20th. Erica's family got a postcard in the mail that read, Erica, cold, cough, throat, rest, death.
He really can string along a sentence, can he?
Literally just one word each time. One word, period. So really, who knows? June 6th, 1989, 5-year-old.
He's sending postcards. Yeah. They don't have any, like, people over there to investigate?
Still looking at 89.
Call the FBI.
It's Japan, honey.
I don't care. Send them over there. They have an international unit on TV.
Okay, Faith. I think we need to have a talk. The things that you see on TV aren't real.
They're based on real life. All the time.
Faith, the things that you see on TV aren't real.
Next, you're going to tell me everything on Google isn't true, too.
Not correct.
What about Wikipedia?
This is going a lot deeper. It's a lot deeper than it needs to go.
Oh, sorry. I just needed a break from all the children being maimed. Oh, my gosh. Do they at least catch him and give the parents, like, they sign a petition to release him into his care?
Do you want me to just end the story now?
No. Yes. Maybe.
June 6th.
Oh, sweet Mary.
1985, 5-year-old Ayako Nomoto.
I thought we were just in 88.
Yeah, but now we're June 6th, 89.
Oh, I thought you said
1989? Is that not what I said?
I thought you said 1985. I don't know.
I meant to say 89. 5-year-old.
You could have. I could have just heard 5-year-old. Just continue. Ignore my talk. I'll unplug my mic.
Cool. I'm going to need to agree with that now. Five-year-old Ayako Nomoto. See, I had it right the first time. Was playing outside when Satomu approached her and asked if he could take her picture. She agreed, and he led her to his car where he murdered her. Wrapped her in a sheet, put her in his trunk. This time, Ayako's body was taken to his apartment where he spent 2 days committing sexual acts on her. He took pictures and videos of this poor girl's remains in multiple positions. As her body started to decompose, this devil dismembered her and left her torso in a cemetery and her head in some nearby hills. He kept her hands, he drank the blood of her hands, and then he cannibalized them. Eventually, Satomu got scared that somebody would find the rest of the body that he had disposed of, so he went back to the cemetery and to the hills and got the rest of her and brought it back to his apartment where he hid it in his closet.
Did anyone smell it and call the cops? Is this when he gets busted? Does he get put to death by a firing squad?
July 23rd, 1989, Satomu approached two sisters. He managed to talk the younger sister into going with him while the older sister stayed behind.
Witness.
He convinced the younger sister to disrobe and started taking pictures of her, but the older sister did not stay put for very long. In fact, she ran and got her dad.
Good girl.
The sister's father ran up and caught Satomu in the act of taking nude photos of his daughter and full-on attacked Satomu. But the slippery bastard got away.
Dang it! Did you get a license plate or anything?
Satomu... Hang on. Satomu waited a little while and then went back to the park for his car.
The car was there?
Yeah, it's what he took to get there.
The police have been waiting.
He literally ran away from the dad, dude.
Better have been waiting. The dad, somebody. I'd have
the
my
cops
dad.
The cops were just sitting there waiting for him to arrive.
Were they really?
Yeah, like a freaking moth to a flame, buddy. He went back for his car. During the search of his apartment, and there was not a lot, and I went through all kinds of crap to see what was there. Did they find the kids' remains? Did they, any of that?
Out of respect for say, the families, I'd hope they wouldn't like put every graphic, gory detail in the news.
I would agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if that's my kid, just bare bones, just try him on the murder. I don't want the world to know everything else that happened in the pictures. And
yeah. So during the search of his apartment, they found 5,763 videos.
That he
took? Some of which consisted of horror movies, anime, and his own homemade videos of the girls that he abused.
Do we know how many of those were the homemade videos?
No, nope, it was all cataloged as part of the 5,763 videos. Satomu's trial started in March of 1990. He attempted to convince the court that everything that he did was the fault of his alter ego, Ratman. Ratman forced him to kill. It's not Satomu's fault. He just did what he was told.
Well, then Ratman needs to go to jail, which means Satomu goes with him.
Mm. During the course of his trial, Satomu's father refused to pay his son's legal fees, and he wound up killing himself in 1994.
Satomu did?
No, Satomu's father.
Oh, the original rapist.
The
Kudos.
Original rapist. Killed himself in 1994. Satomu's trial went on for 7 years.
Because I bet his dirty little secrets got drug out in court and papers and everything else.
I'll bet they did.
Talk about shame to your family, you rapist piece of crap.
Mm-hmm. And not only were you a rapist piece of crap, you didn't even take responsibility for the kid you had.
With your own child. Yeah, yeah. I bet he did kill himself.
Yep.
Coward.
All that dishonor. He is a coward. Good word.
He didn't want to stand up. He didn't want to face the ridicule of his peers, and he didn't want people to know what he did. So he's just going to leave his wife and his children to suffer that.
Yeah, by themselves.
Yeah. Oh, I'm really... How does the trial take 7 years?
Well, let me tell you what.
Do they have juries, like, with real people?
For the 7 years this trial went on, it went back and forth on Satomu's mental state.
Lock him up either way.
In Japanese law, people of unsound minds cannot be punished, and people that are feeble-minded get a reduced sentence.
So they just get left back out in the population?
Yeah, I don't know.
No!
I really don't. I have no idea.
Put him in, like, a mental institution. Do they have those?
So
he's a danger to any child he comes into contact with.
Oh yeah.
And he killed them, raped them, and ate them.
I was
gonna
say too, and it
the
just
families.
Went. Yeah. It went like he was getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Like it went, you know what I'm saying? Like he was digressing quickly.
Yeah, but and he was taunting family. Like that's not someone you let back out in society. I don't care their mental state.
I feel like if they ever did leave him, like let him back out into society, the people would just kill him.
Yeah, okay.
I'm just saying.
New thought process.
New petition.
Let him back out in society. Because I guarantee dad.
We're just gonna roll. We're gonna roll these dice. We're just gonna see what happens, guys.
And if I'm the dad being brought on trial, temporary insanity.
There you go.
100%. Gotta let me off. I could not see clear with the.
His dad is dead.
Racist.
Killed himself.
No.
Like, oh, the dad's the parent. Victim.
Ding
yes.
Ding ding ding.
Sorry.
Oh gosh, I'm okay. Continue.
Yeah, dude. So back and forth, they went. They had multiple court-appointed psychiatrists hired for his case, and all of them had different diagnoses.
Of course they did.
So one said he was feeble-minded, another saying that he was schizophrenic, and the last one saying that he had multiple personality disorder.
I'm saying he is a deranged individual that needs to be locked up for other safety.
I think, honest to God, this kid went through so much as a child. He was never taught empathy. He was never taught sympathy. He was only taught how to fend for himself. The things that were teaching him were anime and horror movies. He brainwashed himself. Though. No, it does not.
He disassociated from
reality. No, and you and me have been back and forth on this 100,000 times. Okay?
He disassociated from reality.
If I'm going to blame anybody, I'm going to blame the parents. He was completely right-handed.
His dad and his grandmother or his dad and his sister, mama?
That's what I'm saying. The blame goes in all directions. Nobody gave a shit about this kid. Okay? And he sought out his own way. His own way became more and more disturbing, like it always does.
Yeah.
Okay? You can't just leave a kid to raise themselves.
No.
It just doesn't. It's not going to turn out well for anybody.
Yeah.
Okay? So the Tokyo District Court considered all of the hogwash that went back and forth and still held Tsutomu accountable.
Good.
He was finally put to death in 2008, where he was hung for his crimes.
I'm not sorry that that happened.
I don't really feel bad either.
Because he would have just kept doing it.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for the life he led up until that point. I feel sorry for the disregard, the neglect, the abuse. But that doesn't justify...
There's still no place for him here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that to be, like, a douchebag at all. Okay? Because I understand that people suffer.
Yeah.
But I also know that everyone has a choice. And it's the path that you choose.
Yeah.
And I know it's different for, you know, if he was... you know, feeble-minded or a sociopath, right?
Yeah.
Or schizophrenic. Wrong word, guys. Sorry. Or had multiple personality disorder. I mean, I know that's probably a different ball game, but like...
But he's still not safe to be out in public. Society.
Yeah.
Like, it's still not safe for other people.
Right.
Well, I am still not happy.
I know. But you know what? It's a story. No, you know what? There is no silver lining. Because you're looking at a kid who grew up in hell. He was shown no compassion. He was shown no mercy.
Like, no just common decency.
To be an adult who showed no compassion and no mercy. And basically, I think the only reason he took it out on kids is because maybe he wasn't
strong enough
physically
to take it out
able.
On
yeah,
else.
Able. Able. Is, that's able. A new word. Okay. Physically able to take on an adult. You know what
Correct.
I'm saying? Like,
and plus, he'd already built up these huge fantasies about kids in his head.
I don't know how to move past, like, hearing any story when it comes to kids. Like, I know there are a lot of people out there that are probably like, well, you know, like, you look at this case and you're like, this kid grew up in hell. He grew up in hell. How can you blame him for that? Because they were his actions.
Yeah.
And that's how I feel about it. Like, it's because, how can I blame him? Watch me.
Well, the thing, like, it's the same principle as, and it makes no sense to me, but... I don't know the exact percentages, but if you are abused as a child, your likelihood of being an abuser later in life is stronger than...
Oh, yeah.
But you hated the abuse as a child.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you then turn around and do the thing that you hated? Like, that makes no logical sense to me.
Because it's easy, I think. It's like an easy path. Like, I don't know. Faith, honestly, that's not even a really good answer. I think... maybe it's all boils down to mental strength. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you could talk about, and we've had this conversation before, you can have twin brothers who grew up in a family of alcoholism where dad beat them and did whatever, A, B, C, and D. You know, brother one moves out, becomes a doctor. Brother two marries his wife, beats her, and drinks all night. Like, nobody knows.
Yeah.
It's your self-perception. what you view yourself as. Like, you can view yourself as the scum of the earth and believe that everything that people say about you, or, you know, you can choose to give the world the middle finger and say, I can do this anyway.
Well, it's the old adage, if you put a potato in water and you put an egg in boiling water, the egg is going to get harder to crack and the potato is going to get softer. So it's the same. It's the same environment. It's what they're made out of.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Well, I'm not slap happy anymore.
Yeah.
Sad and depressed now.
Well, yeah. It's a pretty shitty story. It was pretty bad. But stories like these, like, I mean, you need to know. You know, and I know it was back in like the 80s and, you know, people are very trusting, but I don't feel like being a helicopter mom is that bad anymore.
Oh, no, I will never apologize for being a helicopter mom.
Yeah.
Ever.
Because me and my mom were actually talking about it a couple days, it was over the weekend. My son was going around the block, like literally it's maybe a house or two down. Okay. I will lose sight of him to get to the house.
Yeah.
But I let him ride his bike over to the house. And she's like, I just don't like him.
Yeah.
Now, we grew up in Boston.
Frankie and I were talking about this weekend, too. And I said something about how the reason why Bella was on her phone when he came last time we were recording was because Caleb was playing with his friends and she got her feelings hurt. So she didn't want to play with him. And he was like, well, what do you mean he was playing with his friends? And I was like, he was out riding bikes. And he was like, what do you mean? And I was like, oh, you don't know. Your sister lets him ride around in the neighborhood with his friends. And I started laughing. And he was like, you're serious right now. And I was like, yeah, I don't understand.
It's not the neighborhood.
They were coming from up that way by John's house.
That's where the other parent lives.
You don't know where those kids are going?
Are you judging me as a mom right now on a podcast?
I would never judge another mother's actions. I'm saying it's very uncharacteristic
but
of you.
It is, but here's the deal. Caleb is 9.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to learn how to be responsible.
Now, Bella will be lucky if she's 16 and I'm not in the back of her trunk, like,
but what good
is
that to anybody? And I'm also another mom that's like, if he wants to go climb the tree, he needs to climb the tree. He needs to learn how to do dangerous things.
Yeah, I'm okay with all that, but I'm going to be there. But I also have a girl and you have a boy.
Well, it's not even just a girl versus a boy thing. I know where he is at all times. There's a tracking device on his phone. No, I'm kidding. But I'm not. Anyways, like, if he doesn't have that innate feeling to fly the coop one day, I'm going to be stuck with a 92-year-old roommate. I'm kidding. I need him to be able to make good choices and trust him enough to be responsible on his own.
I will go back to the old saying, it's not that I don't trust him, it's I don't trust
other people.
Else. Yeah.
That's true, but at the same
there's
time,
there's a main thoroughway, like,
and they don't go that way, and they will never go that way.
Makes me nervous.
It does make me nervous. It scares the crap out of me sometimes. But here's the deal, Faith.
Mm-mm.
I can keep him wrapped up in this world and never let him have any fun, or I can teach him how to do things safely. You'll get there eventually. Your daughter's going to have friends. She's going to meet people. Nah. And it's just in the neighborhood, so it's not.
Mm-mm.
I had to learn how to let go.
Mm-mm. I live right by the interstate. No way, dude.
Well, apparently my mothering card's being revoked tonight.
It is not. It's just very unlike you, and you have to admit it's unlike you. Like, he was just shocked.
It is unlike me.
Out of you. Like, just that it was you.
Yeah. It is. It is very much out
it's
of my character.
It's not a judgment
But here's
call.
The deal.
It's knowing you.
Like, I can sit
he
here.
He was like,
and
Lisa?
I can see that main stretch.
He goes, so mom let him go ride before Lisa got home. And I was like, no, Lisa knew about it. And he was like, and she was okay with it. And I was like, apparently.
Of all the people in this world that wouldn't let Caleb go out and ride, it would be my mom. I wasn't allowed to go to the mall by myself until I was 35.
Okay, you come over to my house, which is like 5 miles down the road, and if it gets dark outside, your dad's calling. He's like, where you at? Because I start screaming, she's a freaking adult, Frank!
Well, I mean, even Frankie can't say crap. We used to run the neighborhood, too, when we were kids. But that's neither here nor there.
It wasn't a judgment. It's just knowing you.
They are always within eyeshot of the adults.
Like again, it's not a judgment call. Like I do. I'm a big judger. Let's be honest. I judge everybody for everything. It's just part of my personality. Because I like to. But it's not like you're a bad mom. It's just surprising.
I also have a lot of conversations with Caleb about what to expect out of an adult.
Mm-hmm.
And adults don't ask children for help.
Nope.
Okay. And these are things that I hammer into him to let him know, like, it's not okay. And I've had instances where I've been put in a situation and I can use it as a teachable moment because Caleb was there with me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the fishing guy you told us.
Fishing guy.
Remember when you guys went fishing?
I mean, it's been multiple. Like, keep your eyes open for people that are just watching maybe a little bit too much or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was at a grocery store and some weirdo guy. You know, it's the same thing. You know, adults don't ask children for help. Agreed. And grown-ass men don't approach a mother with her child and ask for a ride. Like,
correct.
You got to be smart about things.
Correct. I just want to make sure it wasn't that we were judging you.
I'm going to need you to edit out this entire thing.
Why?
Now I feel bad about myself.
What? It's not. It's not.
I'm kidding.
That's what I said. Just to reiterate. It's not that we were judging you. It's just that he was shocked.
Me of all people.
You're as bad of a hoverer as I am.
Yeah, worse. Which is how I knew I needed to finally like take a deep breath and be like, the kid is smart. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Anyways, guys, my story tonight, probably not nice. In the end, he did get his.
Like we said,
I like when it ends that way.
Uncomfortable, but it happens, and if you're not aware about it, you don't fight against it.
Yeah, putting your head in the sand not going to help anything.
Nope.
You know what I mean? You got to watch over your kids, and you got to protect them with every fiber of your being.
Even those that aren't
nowadays, even worse so.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't even in public, you know, if he's not holding on to my shopping cart or riding on the front of my shopping cart where I can see him.
Oh, yeah. There is no wandering.
There's no. Yeah.
And like, I remember when I was a kid, like you would hide in the clothes rack.
Oh, yeah.
And my mom wouldn't lose her mind. Like
my mom
today,
did. I did it in Boston, though.
Oh, yeah. See, we were in a one.
I got the beating of my life.
We were in a one horse town called Jennings, Louisiana had one.
No, I was in like a Macy's up in Boston.
Like, there was nothing. There wasn't even a mall in Jennings. There's still not. There's a Walmart. Like, that's it. And a Mr. Gaddy's. Like, those were the two big things. And a Shoney's. But so, like, you hide there. Like, my mom is very calm and collective. She'd yell. You got 3 seconds. I'm beating your butt. If Bella went missing, there would no be like 1, 2, 3. It's 911.
Yeah.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'd rather raise a false flag of alarm than...
Than not do anything.
Than not act quick enough.
Agreed.
Because, I mean, pedophiles and crap people have already existed. Always existed.
It's not even just the pedophile and crap people. It's the human trafficking thing now.
Yeah.
Where...
I was including that with the pedophiles, but yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I mean, because the people that abduct them, Faith, aren't necessarily pedophiles, just
but
people
selling,
earning their living,
but
I
they're
guess.
Selling them to pedophiles.
Yeah.
But my thing is like, that's always existed. It's just in your face so much more now because of the media and social media
and people in general are more willing to stand up and talk about it, whereas before, nobody wanted to talk about it.
Oh, wowsies. All right, well...
Have a great night.
This was not a feel-good episode, but...
It's a true crime podcast. What do you... Okay. Hey, guys. Next week, Faith's going to do a story about Barney. We're going to sing a song.
Kumbaya.
Oh, wait. Didn't Barney just get in trouble?
They all do. But you know what I mean? Like, last week's was good. Like... You can. Okay.
It wasn't heartfelt. They murdered their spouses.
Okay, yeah, I get that. And the one guy with the bones, Thad, But like, there was some.
His was a survivor story. That's different.
But you know what I mean. Like, there's.
Don't be a bitch. Be a Thad.
Yeah, you kind of left on it. Like, there was some banter at the beginning of this episode, but you can't end on a happy note with this episode.
No, No, we did end on a happy note. He's dead.
Yeah, that's the happy note. But like, it's not a feel good. In like, you kind of want to go cry yourself to sleep and put your kid like attached to your body.
Like, even for a parent, like, even though the guy's gone, he's dead. He's gone. Nothing remains. He's decomposing in the ground.
Yeah, that's
it. It doesn't.
That's the point. Nothing remains. Their child is gone. Still gone. Their lineage is gone. That whole future is gone. Like, there's no happy.
And like, I know how people can always go back to the point where like, what's it going to do? Even if we kill him, those kids are still going to be gone, or those people are still going to be gone. Well, it's going to justify for me that he's not going to ever do it again.
Yeah, it's going to save other kids. Here's my thing. Okay, this is what I have a hard time with. Yeah, I know. I can't speak.
That's all right. Neither can I.
So on certain podcasts, like us, when we're recording, there are certain episodes like last week where, you know, we ended on a high five. Thad's the man. Feels pretty good. On episodes like this where it's like super heavy, I have a hard time just being like, peace. Because I feel like we've just emotionally traumatized people. And yes, it's a true crime podcast, so that's why they're here. But on the other hand, I ramble trying to make sure they're emotionally healthy by the time we leave, even though that's not possible.
Not possible.
Is that weird? Like, but that's why I'm continuing.
I don't know that that's weird.
I just like, I'm not holding their hand. I'm not making like, are you okay, Jimmy Sue? Like, that's not what I'm doing. But on the other hand, I feel like if I just talk for a few minutes, like they have a time to breathe. Before we're like, okay, deuces.
Okay, so like, you know, guys, you know what I do? If I watch like a movie that really traumatizes me, I will make sure I have enough time to watch some cartoons before I go to sleep.
But I don't feel like watching a children's program is the best medicine right now.
There are other kinds of no.
Anime? But, is that what?
Oh, my God.
Lisa.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Let me start the healing process over for people who are just re-traumatized.
Pick up a good book. Harry
Potter.
Go for
a walk.
Yeah, go for a walk.
A children's book, Lisa.
Have a couple shots of vodka.
Get away from
that. I don't know. I mean, it could be whiskey. That might be your thing. I don't know. Either way.
I'm just trying to explain. Like, that's why I keep talking and don't let the episode end.
I think
after
you just like talking because you like hearing yourself.
I do, but I just feel like.
I do.
I do like talking. But I don't want to just be like, here's this horrific murder of a child. You're emotionally scarred. Have a good night's sleep. Like, I feel like we have to,
but
know,
at least at
ramble
least,
for a little
at
bit.
At least it wasn't a lethal injection where they don't feel anything. He was hung.
Yeah, there was some torture. It still feels.
Well, that depends.
Easy.
That depends on if the vertebrae all break.
I want like medieval torture.
I told you. What did I tell you yesterday when I was teasing you? I said you're going to come up with some things, right?
I just feel like he should be left into the father's care.
With a pair of despair. I don't know what they call it. We could shove it up his butt.
It's not called the pair of despair.
It is now.
It is now.
Oh. All right, I'm going to shut my mic off. Faith, you keep going.
All right, guys. Well, I know this is a rough one. And if you hung on through all the rambling, I'm sorry. But I just feel like it's our duty to kind of talk you through till you're in a slightly better headspace. And the pair of despair did it. So, on that note,
we'll see you next week.
Have a great night, a great week, and yeah, we'll post pictures on some kind of social media.
Mm-hmm. Sorry,
bye-bye.
Faith, I was trying to help.
I was trying to say Spotify, and I got really
we don't post things on Spotify except the cast.
All right, and on that note,
yeah, we'll be opening up a part of the. Okay, I'm done.
Okay,
bye.
Pair of despair for you. Bye.